We are now recording. This is Out Now with Aaron and Abe. I am Aaron, and Abe is not here, but I have a very special guest on a very special bonus podcast episode. We like to do these occasionally when we don't have movies of the week that we're talking about. Well, of course, we do have there's movies coming out every week. It's the summer now, but I wanted to do something different because this is something that I really like doing, and I've done it a few times now, and I'm very happy to be able to do it once again. I have my mom with me on the podcast. Mom, say hello.
Hello, podcast people.
Hi.
Hello, number one son.
And I guess Denise for others that are listening. But yes, this is my mother. And for those of you that have been sticking with this podcast for a long time, you should know that my mom and I have first got on a recording together when we talked about The Human Centipede. Yes. We then followed that up with a discussion of Anaconda.
Yep.
And you even made a good cameo on our episode for The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Ah, yes. One of my favorites.
So, you have you're basically a pro when it comes to friends of the show at this point. You've been on multiple times. You've talked with me extensively about some movies. And so I'm happy to have you back. I love doing these. And, of course, it wouldn't be a podcast with my mother if we weren't talking about some horror movie. So,
thank you so much. I love doing these also.
And now I have you back to discuss The Babadook. This is the horror film from last year, the Australian horror film that received rave reviews that I've been recommending to everyone that I know, especially people that love horror movies, much like my mother, who is on the show with me right now. And you finally watched it, correct?
Yes, I did.
It's currently streaming on Netflix, and I would advise anyone, because this is going to be a very spoiler-heavy episode of concerning The Babadook. If anyone that hasn't seen The Babadook hasn't seen that film yet, be sure to go on Netflix or do whatever you need to do to rent it, because not only is it great, but we're about to delve right into everything that happens in The Babadook.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm aware that you have some questions, and I'm happy to go over them with you, but first I just want to get your overall thoughts on The Babadook.
My overall thoughts on it, well, I wasn't sure what to expect because I don't know what a Babadook is. I presumed the Babadook was something scary. And I loved it. I mean, the mother and the son in this movie are great. I don't know what else to say about them. I'm not familiar with them, but they were great in this movie. And I liked the whole movie. I don't know what else to really say.
That's fine. I'm glad you liked it. I'm certainly a huge fan of it. I know I've had a number of people on this show that are all huge fans of it. Mark Hoban, in particular, thinks it's one of the best horror movies ever. One of the things about this movie, the director of The Exorcist, William Friedkin, which is a movie I know you love. William Friedkin, who directed The Exorcist, he's quoted as saying, "This is the scariest movie I've ever seen."
Wow.
To back up a bit, The Babadook is an Australian horror film, as I've described. It stars Essie Davis as the mother and Noah Wiseman as her son. She is a widow, and she's dealing with her son, who basically acts out a lot. I wouldn't say has any problems necessarily.
He's a very precocious little young man.
Yeah,
very precocious young man.
For sure. And things transpire once she finds a book, a pop-up book called The Babadook, which she reads to her son, kind of, before she realizes this book is terrifying, and she tries to get rid of it. Of course, the book doesn't seem to go away, and whatever this Babadook that the book describes is, it seems to come to life in some form and basically terrorize the mother and the son. The film was directed by Jennifer Kent. This is her debut film. She used it was a mix of crowdfunding and her own film, various producers to get money together to make this film. It was a very low budget film from Australia, but it got rave reviews.
Critics
loved it. Audiences that saw it loved it. I want this movie to be seen by more people in terms of just kind of great low budget horror filmmaking that just doesn't rely on a lot besides really excellent sound design, some very creative cinematography, very minimal use of actual, like, like a there's a thing, there's a Babadook, but you it's not really like, here's the Babadook, look how scary it is. It's more of like implying things, if anything.
Exactly.
And yeah, I really love this film. I think the Essie Davis in particular, the mother, she gave what I would consider my favorite female performance from last year. I think she was absolutely terrific as this mother character who's dealing with a lot and has to do a number of things to kind of make a role like this work. Because, you know, there's only like four people in this movie. There's not many people in this movie, so.
Exactly.
And it just does a terrific job of kind of maintaining a level of suspense and atmosphere, and it's so well made. There's just, I have nothing but good things to say about the Babadook. So with that said, as I began this podcast, I know you have some questions concerning what happens or what went
Well,
on exactly.
one of the things that concerned me, because you know how I'm detailed, and I was curious because being that the child was precocious and I knew it was going to be something scary and I knew the Babadook was going to be something scary. So my thing was, and you know, with her being a widow and her not really getting over the fact that her, of how she became a widow. So I kind of over analyzed it as I was watching it, and I'm thinking, okay, so is this Babadook, with the little boy being like he is, I thought, well, maybe it's his father, like a spirit in this child and making this child be overly precocious, so to speak. You know, I tried to play that. You know, this is before the Babadook came into play, and you know, because he's just so, you know, I don't even know how to describe him. Quite frankly, when I saw his the little weapons that he'd made, my first thought was, oh my God, this is a British Stewie. Even though he's not dominating the world,
Australian.
well, I didn't, you know, I forgot that it was Australian,
Oh,
so
okay.
that's why I said British. But yeah, and I just thought he was the cutest little thing. But you know, so I thought maybe the father was like a spirit inside the child. But then, you know, and the mother was so patient. Oh my goodness, this is such a patient woman. And then when they showed her working in a nursing home, I said, okay, well, she's very patient because she works in a nursing home with old, so she knows how to be patient with someone who's overactive, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I just wasn't sure what. Then I thought when she started getting like angry, and I understand why she got angry at some points, but it was kind of like she almost went 180 with her personality. And I'm thinking, okay, so did the spirit jump from this child back into her? And that's what's going on, because she never really got, you know, closure on her husband dying, or at least that's how I understood it. So, and then the Babadook came into play, and it's like, okay, who is this Babadook? Is this Babadook a figment of, I know you, is it a figment of both their imaginations? I don't even know, I just didn't get that Babadook part, and how come they kind of went back and forth, because first it seemed like the son was, you know, the aggressor, and then the mother became the aggressor, and then the Babadook was there, and I'm just all confused.
Okay.
If that makes any sense.
No, it does make sense. And
Okay.
what's because I'm and again, if you haven't seen the Babadook, this is the time to watch it because I'm about to go way into what it is exactly, or at least what a good interpretation of it could be. Now, here's the thing. There's obviously any viewer can interpret it however they want to. It's a movie, and to their mind, it's their subjective perspective and opinion. But there are basically two schools of thought of how to take the Babadook that are generally accepted, and what director Jennifer Kent was going for, based on what she's kind of said in interviews and such. One is that the Babadook is some real supernatural force that's, you know, evil and trying to take away the mother's son and possess her and make her do horrible things and whatnot, which is, you know, that's, you know, standard horror stuff that you could expect and believe and go along with, like, oh, that's horrible, you know, horror movie, evil fantasy creature. The other is what I think makes the movie so compelling, and you're on the right track with this, is that it is a figment of her imagination. And
Okay.
there's a number of things that kind of put that into perspective. One is what she used to do. Now she's a nurse currently, but there's a moment where she's interacting with her sister and her friends, and she talks about how, or one of them talks about how she used to be a writer.
Oh, right. Yes.
Now, taking that, you can with that you can one you then wonder, so where did the Babadook, the book, come from, since no one seemed to know where this book comes from?
Right.
with the information that she used to be a writer, one could surmise that she wrote the book. She put that book together, and it is something that she created. She created the Babadook herself. Why would she do this? Because the Babadook is actually a manifestation of her grief for her dead husband.
God, okay.
As you watch the movie, you see she does not like mentioning his name. She doesn't like talking about it. She likes kind of basically sweeping it under the rug. As you would know, as it, not you particularly, as anyone would know, when you kind of push things deep down inside of you, they're going to come back up in some way. And as opposed to being a supernatural thing, what it really could be is her mo the mother's grief turning into this thing, the Babadook, that she's created herself, that she's not aware of necessarily, or what have you. It's kind of a, not a split personality, but more of like a dissociative, like, here I've put all of my this grief and whatever emotions I have into this thing. And in this case, it was a book. And because her son is a person that acts out and what has you, he essentially plays along, so to speak. He lets his imagination kind of go along with what his mother's doing. And so as she's dealing with this thing that she's registered as the Babadook, which is an anagram for a bad book, by the way, and in various languages it means like spooky demon or something like that. It's all it could be, again, this is all, you know, possibly it could all be interpreted as things that happen in her mind. Obviously the movie is from it's from her perspective, so that kind of takes away, like, why did the house shake, or, you know, things like this happen, because it's all coming out of her point of view. That's the way to look at it in there in terms of how to explain these things. But with all that in mind, yes, I mean, the either way could be taken. And regardless, I mean, even if you want to just believe, hey, it's supernatural and that's fine, she's still dealing with a lot of grief. And so
Oh, absolutely.
if this is like, oh, you know, it could be just there's a coincidence of I happen to be dealing with a supernatural being at the same time I'm dealing with the grief of my dead husband. That's fine too.
Yeah.
But regardless, the mother is a complicated enough character where she clearly is dealing with the fact that she hasn't dealt with her dead husband, and that
Exactly.
her son, obviously, you know, has issues because of just the nature of her being a single mother dealing with this whole issue of, you know, the father dying when he was born on the same day that he was born,
Right.
things like this of this nature. The kid, he's, you know, he's building weapons, he likes magic and stuff, and, you know, he's doing his own thing, but he hasn't, I mean, he's building weapons and likes magic because he has an overactive imagination. And
Right.
so,
And
because of,
so does his mother.
yeah,
I mean,
so
his
does her mother,
mother.
because she was a writer. She was, you know, writing
Exactly.
fiction, and she developed this book, apparently. So.
I never occurred to me that she wrote the book. I do remember this statement regarding her being a writer. And I never put those two together.
And
But
with
that's
that,
interesting.
it also explains, like, how the book came back and was, like, even different because she did all that herself. Like, it's just not
Exactly.
showing you know, her hand, essentially. So, yes, I mean, the
That's well, I was on the right track, so that's good.
for sure.
That's good.
Well, I do like that you were, you know, you had you were so concerned about what this Babadook was, and I mean, it's a matter of interpretation again, but yeah, it's certainly.
Well, I have a very active, overactive imagination, and I remember when I was a child, and I was scary, and it's really funny how I love horror movies, but I was a very scared child. I heard noises, and I liked the closet to be closed because I didn't want anything to come out of it, and all those different things. And so I kind of understood the child. I guess I didn't understand that he was reacting to his mother
That's the
necessarily.
tricky thing, because that's where you have to put yourself in their shoes or what have you. And I think because he's a child, you don't necessarily know what he's thinking. But if you kind of think about what a child would be doing, he'd be basically a child like him, for instance, who has this imagination already, seeing his mother do whatever she's doing. Like, if this movie was told from his perspective, I'm really curious what that looks like. But
Exactly.
I mean, there's probably, I mean, I'd imagine Jennifer Kent, the director, could probably map out kind of explain everything that happens from his perspective because she wrote the screenplay.
Exactly.
If it was, again, not supernatural at all and just, you know, all real and just in her mind, and he just happens to be basically playing along with it. So
Right.
she could have been like holding on to him and pulling him up the stairs when he says you can't take the Babadook, and then suddenly he's being like it seems like he's being levitated up the stairs. That could just be the mother like dragging him upstairs or something like that.
Right. That's yeah. But I just really like that movie. But that like I said, I wasn't quite sure what was going on. Was it? And now I understand. I totally understand it. But
I think you understood it from like a basically what she was going through in terms of like clearly this woman has problems because.
Well, yeah, because I was a single mother and I understand a lot of what she was and how I think I would have reacted if I was in her situation. I had been in her situation actually, but you, as my child, you weren't like that little boy. You were precocious, but you didn't go over the edge quite like he did, and in my opinion.
I wasn't building weapons involving darts and knives.
No. And you didn't tell people that my mother had me when my father. You didn't blurt out things quite as liberally as he did, and that's fine. I mean, he was absolutely precious. It's just I just love the way she dealt with him, and I like to think that I would have dealt with him the same way. And I guess I thought the Barbaduke was his imagination, and she acquired it. But I because I thought that, and I knew he wasn't real, so I thought that it was the father again, the father going from the son into the mother. Right.
Which it comes from basically seeing a lot of horror movies. You get a lot of ideas of what these things could be. So yeah, it could have easily been like the son's position. And there's plenty of creepy kid movies. I know like The Bad Seed's one of your favorite movies ever.
Oh, absolutely.
So I mean, there's plenty of creepy kid movies that justify a thought of like, is this kid just really crazy? Like, or is he really, is he possessed or something? Is that, you know, normal in terms of like horror standards?
And then
No,
I was just going to say, and then at one point I also thought that his energy, I didn't think he was possessed because, you know, we know how he is, but I thought because his energy was so strong and at times it was a lot stronger than his mother's, that he was bringing on this Barbaduke person, creature, that he was bringing it to life. Mm-hmm. And that's why his mother saw it, as opposed to it being her imagination.
Like it was real in some sense, and his energy, every time he kind of talked of it, it gave it more power.
Right. Yeah. And then that's when it came to the point where she was even able to see it.
Uh-huh.
And so I really never thought it was her as far as the Barbaduke goes.
That's certainly a way to look at it too, I would say, though. I mean, in terms of like having the kid, like the mother dealing with it's one thing, but then because Samuel keeps mentioning it and bringing it up, it's not escaping her mind at all, because like her son will not let it rest.
And exactly.
So I mean, it's certainly regardless of what the nature of it is, even if with it being her own creation, he's helping to give it power, which is really what she needs.
Right.
Like the thing about the Babadook is it's grief that needs to be dealt with. And what I like about this movie a lot is that it's not as if like they just slay the monster and it dies. It's still there at the end of the movie. So I want to ask you now, what did you think of the end of the film?
I thought it was great. I understand that it's there. She's locked away her grief. She's put her grief in a box, and so that means that it can be released later.
In a sense, I think it's more of, even though it's, you know, they're handling it very physically as opposed to like it's, just verbally or whatever. I mean, I think the idea there is that yes, the grief is out. Yes, she's kind of. She has it away somewhere, but she is dealing with it every day because they're taking worms and feeding it. They're literally like they're letting it be a part of their lives, which is
well,
what
she's turned it. She turned it into from a negative into a positive.
Yes,
the sun is a lot calmer at the end. They're smiling. Didn't see a lot of smiles in this movie in the beginning, or actually through the whole movie until the end. She's smiling, he's smiling. She did a birthday party, because now she can celebrate his birthday, and it still reminds her that the husband, this is, to me, it's like, okay, I have my husband. I have him locked away. He's gone, but he's not really gone.
Yeah, but not pushed down inside of me. It's more of like, it's a part of me, and I recognize that, as opposed to any mention of him makes me go hysterical.
Exactly.
Like she kind of curses out that other woman when she mentions the like how to deal with grief, because she doesn't want to deal with it. Now she's dealing with it in her own, in their own way, Because
Right.
as she makes it aware, like the son, when he's older, he can help her deal with this, I guess, or whatever.
That was a good start with her giving him a birthday
Yeah.
party because he'd
Wait.
never had a birthday party.
But even like you see the door and it has all these locks on it at the end and
Right.
everything, so it's like it's clear. Like, but she says, or he asks, when can I come down there? And she's like, when you're older. So when we see Babadook 2, Electric Boogaloo, we'll see how.
Oh, there's a
What?
Bubba, and it's
No,
called
there won't
Electric.
be a. I didn't know there won't be a
Oh,
Babadook
okay.
2. But like when he gets older, I'd imagine she'll open that door. They'll both go down there. Whatever that means for her inside of her own head, he'll be able to be a part of that too, and they can share together in the memories of her husband or whatever you want to call it, as
Yeah,
opposed
because
to,
that's a difficult thing to tell your child, and especially a child that young, that the reason why, we don't celebrate your birthday is because, your father was killed the day you were born. It's almost a child can interpret that as meaning, well, if I weren't born, my dad wouldn't have died. So it's
it's
kind of like
yeah.
it's his fault.
It's very, that's
So,
it's
and that's
why
a hard,
it's very clever, because
yeah.
that is dark material to work with, and they do a very interesting job of handling that, especially, I mean, in a horror movie,
Absolutely.
which is why, again, why I really like this movie, because it's a horror movie that ha that's it is, I mean, I like horror movies of all kinds, you like horror movies of all kinds, but this is one
Absolutely.
that has very complex characters and themes going on here. And while there's a lot of horror movies that are, just for fun, there's a lot that have commentary on society. This is one that's just it's basically a family drama that happens to be in the realm of horror when you look at it.
Right.
And it works very well. Like, it's a
This
very
looks great.
it's a ter it's terrifically acted, as you pointed out. I mean, the
And Noah Wiseman, I mean, I have a thing, and this is just my own personal opinion about one of my issues with Exorcist, was using the child to play that part. That's a lot of psyche, and I realize it's just a movie, but that can really, those psychological thrillers are can really affect you, even when you don't know it. But even though he, but he, and this is, I don't know if he was really 7 years old in real life.
Good thing to point out, actually. The
Oh.
for filming the movie, Jennifer Kent, she made sure that for one thing, there was a lot. She was very careful. There was a lot of supervision involving him with this movie. She's quoted as saying something along the lines of, "I don't want to make a horror movie that ruins a childhood," or something of that
Right.
nature. So she, for all the scenes that involved like the mother, Essie Davis, her like doing certain things to him, abusing him in some way, he wasn't even on the set. Like
Oh.
they had another actor, just an adult actor, like just kind of saying the lines while she reacted and whatnot. The mother was with her son every day on set. There was a kind of a child version of the story written so he could kind of understand what was going on, but in his a safer way for him. So
Oh, good. Okay.
there was
That's
certainly a lot put into effort to make it so he could just be an actor in a movie and not be an actor that's also suffering the kind of fears or terrors of what this movie
that a
presents.
7-year-old child would
Could
it
potentially
could
be harmed by
exactly.
in some way.
I mean, I'm not trying to, down the movie at all, and by no actions, and
Oh, for sure. Yeah,
I'm not
there's.
downing. I mean, maybe if you're an actor, you have to start somewhere, and I understand, but he's excellent at 7 years old. I mean, my goodness. It's great.
Yeah. One thing I really like about this movie is the sound design. I think there's a really cool handle on like just the use of sound in the movie, not the score, but the sound effects of like when she's doing various activities, when she's opening b the book and or when she's kind of preparing herself, when the kid's preparing his weapons. There's a lot of kind of quick cuts to things, and you kind of hear the sounds, and it really kind of it adds to the tension in the atmosphere. When he's like climbing up the swings, for instance, when he
Yes.
there's a lot of I mean, besides like seeing cool shots of just how it looks and whatnot, because it's a really these smaller movies tend to look good that way because the directors want to put their stamp on it. But there's a lot of really good use of sound, and I found that to be very, very interesting, very clever way of kind of amping up the tension without having by using kind of by having a limited budget, you have to use as many resources as you can, and that was a really clever way to do that.
Well, absolutely. I watch Criminal Minds a lot, and there's one of the behaviors that they do is you close your eyes and they ask them, what sounds do you hear? That's an interesting thing because I never really thought about it like that. And when you close your eyes and you think of a situation, you may not remember the word, I mean, the person, or but if you hear sounds, you can kind of figure out where you were just by hearing the sounds. And you were absolutely right about that movie with that, because, you know, back in the day, they always put music, you know, when the tension would come up, the music would get really wild or whatever. And they didn't do that in this movie.
It's a lot more subtle. Like, there's some score, but it's a lot more focused on sound effects and mood.
Like, right. And you could hear it all that. You could hear all that, and you could feel that, you know, like you said, with the book and the tension in the air and all these little sounds. You're absolutely correct.
And did you like the design of the Babadook? Now, I understand you don't really see much of the Babadook, but what you do see is a hat, a coat, and finger claw hands.
Freddy Krueger?
Yeah.
He made those hands popular because those are scary hands. And it was great. And the black and the whole, he's almost like, he's more like a villain as opposed to a monster, because he's got a cape on, or you presume it's a cape and a hat. So he's a person as opposed to a monster. Monsters don't wear clothing. And so, yeah, I like the Babadook, which made it more real. As opposed to some ugly monster, you know, that's not real, coming into your house. A man can come in your home. or, you know, and so, yeah, I did like how they made him more of a villain as opposed to an ugly ogre monster or something.
Certainly seems like an easy Halloween costume to put together.
That's a good idea.
or a really easy way to terrify someone, if you just kind of put a hat and a coat and some finger claws, like, behind a door.
Oh, yeah, don't say that, though, because that's kind of scary. That's scary to me. But, you know, that's a thought on the Halloween costume. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, yeah, that's the Babadook. I'm glad you really enjoyed it.
I did. I may watch it again, just because.
There you go. maybe we'll watch it together when I come over there.
Oh, that's excellent.
Now, there's another movie that I don't think you've seen yet, but I do want to recommend it. We did a whole podcast episode on it. It's called It Follows.
Is that on Netflix?
Yeah, not yet, because it's been in theaters, and so it's I'll explain what it is in a second, but I've been championing the idea that The Babadook and It Follows should be playing at a drive-in theater as a double feature.
Really?
Because they're both low-budget horror films that would just that kind of really echo past horror films. It Follows is more of an, like, if The Babadook is more of a throwback 70s horror film with a lot of noir influence, you could watch The Babadook in black and white. I feel like it could be like,
absolutely.
You could easily, like, in the right, you could watch, it could easily be a 30s film if there is some differences there, mixed with like a lot of 70s sensibilities, like Texas Chainsaw, that kind of homemade movie, The It Follows is more of like a 70s, 80s horror film. And again, for people that know this podcast or just know the movie in general, we've talked about this before. But It Follows is, to explain it to you briefly, Mom, it involves teenagers, and there's a thing out there. And in order for this thing to come at you, you had to have had sex with a person that it was following. So basically a person has a thing following them, and when they have sex with somebody, that thing begins to follow that person.
Oh, so it's like a tag.
It's like, yeah, it's the worst version of tag,
yeah, tag.
Possible. And so the story mainly involves this one girl who a man that she's dating, he has sex with her, and then he explains to her that this thing's going to follow her.
Oh, so the person that's being followed knows it's being followed.
Yes, but only the person that's being followed can see what's following them.
Oh.
But the thing that's following them can take the form of anybody.
Oh.
Now,
that's scary.
It is scary. it can mimic their friends, it can mimic anybody. It's generally, you know, it doesn't talk, it's silent. When it gets much closer to you, it's generally like some weird naked person that's like that's coming at you all crazy like. But no one else can see this except the person that's following you. So in order to get rid of it, you have to have sex with somebody else. But if the thing that's following you gets you, it kills you, and it goes back to the person that they previously had sex with.
Oh my word.
So basically you have to keep passing it forward.
Okay, but how do you know you have to have sex to get rid of it?
Well, That's seeing the movie helps, but in the movie, and spoilers for It Follows, by the way, I'm not going to spoil it completely, but I bet people were familiar with this. I just wanted to describe this movie to you because it's awesome, and you're definitely going to see it at some point.
Oh, absolutely.
But in the movie, when the main character, when she has sex with the guy who passes it to her, he knows the rules and he explains it to her. And he doesn't just explain it; he ties her to a chair and explains it to her. And lets the thing like get really close before moving it away because he wants to make sure she believes him.
Okay.
Because why? Because you're not going to believe someone that tells you this is happening. Obviously, you're going to be like, "No, get away from me, person. That's crazy."
Right. She would have never had sex with him if he'd have told her before.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Got it.
Yeah, that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
Now the thing that follows you, it only walks, so that means it takes a while for it to get to you. So you can drive away and have build yourself some time. It's still going to get to you eventually, but it only walks.
Oh, that's so scary.
Yes.
Even though it can become anybody, your friend or whatever, if it becomes your friend, it can't get on an airplane?
Well, it's just a shapeshifter, so I mean...
Oh, okay.
It doesn't run or anything, it just walks.
Okay.
It walks under the water. I don't know. The movie doesn't need to go into those specificities necessarily. But what you know is that it will eventually catch up with you one way or the other.
Exactly. That's the scary part.
Yes.
And because it walks and you can get away, you kind of don't know when.
Yes.
And so the point is to try to have sex with somebody before it catches up.
Yes. Or figure out a way to stop it, which is what they try to do in the movie.
Okay.
So... Now that I've clearly intrigued you on It Follows, it has a great soundtrack, like a really cool, like old, like 80s style synth soundtrack. It's really good.
Cool. I like that soundtrack.
It's really neat. It has a lot of, in common with like Halloween, like old Carpenter movies. This filmmaking style is really cool. Like, it's just a really good movie.
Okay. I'm going to look for it. It's playing right now.
It was, I mean, now I think it's kind of in flux. So, like, it's like in between being in some theaters and coming out to DVD or Blu-ray. So, it'll be on Netflix eventually. Again, if it was on the drive-in with the Babadook, that'd be amazing.
Eventually, 6 months from now?
No, it's like within like a month. I think I saw some press releases about it. So, it's coming out soon.
Oh,
so.
Great. Okay. I'll wait till it gets on Netflix.
So it'll be in Redbox. I know that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yes, that's It Follows.
It Follows. Okay, yeah. I'll remember that.
I can also currently tell you that Human Centipede 3 final sequence is out in like limited release and on VOD right now, but I don't want any part of that. So
Human Centipede 3? What else can they do?
This one involves they're in a prison and all the prisoners are attached to each other.
Oh. And all the stuff that goes on in the prison also?
I can't begin to understand how a movie like that would work. And I don't want to, really.
That would be... No, okay. Yeah, they should have just stopped with one. That was the most insane movie I've ever seen. And it was great. It was great. Who thinks like that?
Yeah, that's the question I have.
Oh, my word. Amazing. Movies are great. I love them.
Let's see. There's not... So this year so far has not been a huge year for like horror movies, like in terms of things coming out. I will say I saw Unfriended. Did you see the previews for Unfriended?
No.
That was the one which is much like what we're doing right now. We're over Skype on video. It's about all these friends that are on Skype at the same time. And the movie's shot entirely from a computer screen. So imagine you're looking at your computer screen right now.
Right.
That's the whole movie. It never moves away from your screen.
Oh, boy.
It's from one person's screen, and there's the ghost of another person who's on Skype with them, making them do horrible things.
Oh, brother. Okay. Is that – I think I have seen that title somewhere.
Yeah, it came out in March. March.
Okay, then I might April. Have seen it on a preview or something.
I enjoyed it. Like, it makes the gimmick work well of having just your screen as like what the movie is. Like, it's fun.
Right. Okay, that's interesting. Fun. I'll look forward then.
That's out. Insidious Chapter 3 comes out next week.
Saw the previews of that.
Yeah. That's happening. There's a movie called The Gallows coming out this summer. That's like a found footage type movie in a high school, I believe.
The gallows
The
hanging.
gallows. Yeah, like the villain, like the ghost going after them, like constantly like hangs them or whatever.
Oh my Lord.
I
Okay.
saw a preview of that. And it's like, all right, that's something.
Those insidious type movies. I'm kind of creeped out by people being able to crawl up walls and on ceilings.
Yeah.
That's kind of creepy to
That's
me.
one of your
So
things.
so the Insidious, I don't think, unless it comes, I don't think I'll watch
Okay.
that. That's creepy to me.
I saw the Poltergeist remake last week.
Now, how was that? Because
It's
I'm interested. No.
not good.
Okay, I didn't think so. They
It's
can't
not.
redo that. I mean, some things you just can't redo.
It's the kind of thing where like you watch the first Poltergeist, and like it makes a lot of like sense from for a certain like way. Like you see like stuff like clowns and little dolls and things that are like, yeah, that's scary because that's what normal kids would be scared of. And this
Right.
is the kind of movie where you look at it's like this vintage clown that's old and has a weird smile, and you're like, of course this thing's evil. It looks evil to begin with, and like it's very obvious.
Then you wonder why
And
children are afraid of clowns.
there's a there's like in the first movie there's a scene where Jo Beth Williams' character, the mother, she falls into a pool and then like real skeletons pop out, and it's like, oh, that's
Oh,
crazy. This is in
no.
this movie, and they're like real, they're like practical skeletons. In this movie, it's like one like CG skeleton, and you're like, well, that doesn't look real. Like, why do I care? Why do I care about this?
Right.
So
Oh, okay.
it's like it has some fun bits, but it's just not overall it's not worth it.
Oh, well, they tried.
You can wait. Like,
Okay. I probably won't, if it's not even now, because I like the Poltergeists, and so it's good.
What else?
I don't know what other horror movies have. I haven't
Seen many recently.
anything recent, because everything seems to be, the being either something of possession, and like I said, those possession movies, because these people crawl on walls and ceilings and their heads turn all the way around. And I still remember The Exorcist, and that movie scared me to death, and it scares me to death to this day. And I even read the book. I thought I was prepared for it. So, and I was, what was I? I was 12, 13 years old, not to give away my age. So that tells you, and I'm still scared of that movie. And so I don't think I will. I think I'll pass on the walking up the walls or crawling up the wall movies with the heads turning around.
Well, to get us back to where we started, though, if the Babadook, big recommend from you, yes?
Yes. Thumbs up. Five
Great.
cards, star, I don't know.
Great.
All that.
Okay.
Okay.
Well,
Thank you so much.
thank you, Mom. Thank you for joining me to discuss the Babadook, and I'm happy that I've helped make a movie that you already liked a little more clearer, understandable, or give you more to think about.
And I'm glad I was on the right track.
Okay.
Very good. Good night, podcast friends.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening. This has been Out Now with Aaron and Abe, me talking with my mother. You can find all of our episodes on Audioboom at iTunes. You can email us at outnowpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know if you want me and my mom to discuss other horror movies, because who knows? There's an audience out there that wants to hear us talk about other classics or even other modern movie films. So, with all of that said, until next time, so long and goodbye. Okay.
Is it done?
Yes, that's done.
Okay.
Things are different today. I hear every mother say, cooking fresh food for her husband's just a drag. So she buys an instant cake, and she buys a frozen steak, and goes running for the shelter of her mother's little helper. And to help her on her way, get her through her busy day. Doctor, please, some more of these outside.